You know him from the Boston Globe, of course, but he's also the author, editor of the red hot new book, The Boston Globe, Story of the Red Sox, More Than a Century of Championships, Challenges, and Characters. It's probably sold out. You should have pre-ordered like I did. Chad Finn with us. Hello, Chad.
Oh, not sold out. Many available. Keep buying them. No, it's doing well and seems to be getting a really nice response from people. And maybe even to the point where we end up doing these sort of things from the Globe Archives on other Boston teams. We'll see if that takes shape. But so far, so good. And if anybody's bought it, I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great. And it's one of those books, too. You know, there's some books you read, you enjoy them, you put them down, and that's that. But this is, I think, for Red Sox fans, this is one of those books that you'll keep going back to year after year.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I mean, it's over 300 stories from the Globe Archives on pretty much telling the whole story of Red Sox history. There was no story that we were looking for that we couldn't find. But I kind of think of it as a book where you just kind of pick it up and pop open a page or go to the era that you were most interested in. For me, that's the 70s because that's when I first became a fan and Gammons was writing. But my dad's reading it from the beginning, which to me, honestly, is quite a undertaking because some of those older stories, as historically important as they are, they don't pop to me as much as a Lee Montville column or a Gammons on baseball Sunday notebook or something like that. But I appreciate it, anybody who does read from start to finish, because it's a pretty big book with not the biggest type in the world either.
But it's also fascinating to see, along with the Red Sox and their history, to see how sports writing has changed over time.
Yes. I had somebody ask me the other day, it was on Jeff Perlman's podcast, the author of probably about at least a dozen great sports books right now.
Were you on two writers slinging, what does he call it?
Yang. Yes.
Yeah, slinging Yang, yeah.
But that's what it was. Yeah,
Jeff's great. He's been on with us a couple of times. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good guy to have in your corner on something like this. And I don't know if he's posted it yet, but yeah, we talked and it was really fun. But yeah, he asked me if sports writing's gotten better because he was referencing like the Red Smith era, you know, the 40s, 50s, where the writing could be pretty flowery, but it's regarded as like this classic stuff. And to me, it's gotten better and better. It's just like pretty much everything else. Athletes have gotten better and, you know, technology has gotten better and on and on. And I feel like the caliber of sports writing has too. But that's not to say it's the early stuff is bad. It's actually was a really pleasant surprise. A couple of things jumped out to me about it as I was putting the book together. First of all, the stories were really long because there was no other way for fans to get their information about the Red Sox other than the newspaper. You didn't have television. Games weren't on the radio, so you kind of had to wait to see. So there's a lot of play-by-play in the stories. And the other thing was the writers had tremendous access. There was a great player who's the manager of the Red Sox at the time named Chick Stahl in 1907 who committed suicide. And the writer, the Globe beat writer Tim Renane at the time, baseball columnist, had just incredible sad detail in his story about what happened, dialogue and all that. And so it was really high quality stuff, but you know, for me, it's when Gammons kind of changed baseball writing that it just really trended upward.
Well, I look forward to seeing how future generations will write the incredible tale of Adam Duvall. It's certainly the opening chapter in Boston has been a pretty good one.
It is, and it wasn't great this spring either. It took him quite a while to get his first hit. Happened when I was down there, and I was not there the first weeks of spring training, so it was a little bit of time, but he's pretty locked in. I'm working actually today on this column I do every year when I remember to do it on baseball, the top statistical comp in history for every Red Sox player. So you kind of get a gauge. It's fun to do, but you kind of get a gauge too for, you know, where they are and where they might be headed. And Duvall, one of the guys that pops up on his, is Hunter Renfrow. And I think that's a really apt comparison. He's going to hit a lot of home runs. He's going to strike out a lot. He's a good defensive outfielder, but he's probably not ideal in center field. I think his legs have worn down in the past. But I thought last year, I think a lot of Red Sox fans felt this way, that it was okay to trade Renfrow, but they never really, really replaced him. Well, this year they have, and it's Duvall, and he's gotten off to a great start. On top of it all, too, he's a really nice, good guy. I think if he produces, he's going to become somebody Red Sox fans really like.
Yeah, it was an interesting weekend, to say the least, and without his heroics and the work of Baltimore's left fielder, the pride, former pride of Berwick, Maine, it might not have had the same kind of ending, but obviously questions first time through about the early guys in that rotation, particularly Chris Sale. The slider looked good. Everything else looked like batting practice.
Yeah, when he got hit this spring, he had a couple of good outings and a couple not so good. When he got hit this spring, he didn't have command. And I think that was the primary case the other day, that just couldn't get a feel for his changeup, couldn't spot his fastball where he wanted to. And the slider was good, but if they can lay off that thing, he was going to be in trouble. And that explains the three home runs in the first three innings he pitched. But I think the fact that he struck out six shows you that the stuff is there. It's just a matter of honing his repertoire and getting used to being out there on the mound, which is still a work in progress. It's crazy that it's been 5 years now that since Chris Sale's really contributed to the Red Sox, but still believe that he's going to, and that he's going to be a top of the rotation starter. But that wasn't a good way to kick it off.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown Celtics, with just a few games left. Still an outside shot at the overall number one seed. But, hey, when you can go to Milwaukee and beat them by 41, does it really matter?
Message delivered, right?
Yeah.
I think it made people feel better about after the 19-point loss to the Wizards. We're still trying to figure out, I think, what the Celtics team is, because they lost. Probably a half dozen games the last 2 months that they should have won just based on matchup and sort of took them for granted. But they play well against the good teams. And, they own the Sixers and beat up the Bucks pretty good. And you remember earlier in the season, they didn't really have any healthy players and nearly beat Milwaukee. Ended up being a frustrating loss because they nearly pulled it off. Derek White having a great game. So, I think we just kind of have to accept them for who they are and know that as they get in the playoffs, they're probably going to lose a game where they drive us crazy. But you also have to know that they're going to show up when they ultimately have to show up. And they got a little history of that. We tend to forget it, but they went into Milwaukee and won game six last year and then won game seven at home. They won game seven on the road against Miami. They've got more pelts, I think, than they get credit for. They haven't won a championship.
By the way, we appreciate you tying up your phone with us when, at any moment, your BFFs, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, could give you a call.
Yeah, I'll just hang up. I won't even say goodbye to you.
I would hope so.
That was a lot of fun. I ended up writing about Air, which the Globe gave 4 stars to today. I've seen it. I didn't think it was quite 4 stars, but I really liked it. And it's going to be one of those movies like, Jerry Maguire, where if you're flipping through and you see it's on, you stop for a few minutes, no matter what. Very funny too. But the arts editor at the Globe asked me to write about it and set me up with a PR person. And about 15 different times, it looked like it was falling through. And Affleck was supposed to call me at one point one day and called me 4 hours later. But it was fantastic when I talked to him. And Damon was right on time and hit the 25 minutes that we had to talk right on the nose. So I guess it was kind of what you'd expect out of both of those guys, right?
Yeah, but I like what they had to say, that they've reached that point in their career when they realize that it's important to enjoy the people you work with. And so they kind of made a commitment to get back together and do some more things.
Yeah, it's really a conscious effort. Part of it is probably because they're just so great together. But, they go back to being friends at 8 and 10 years old. And it's, as I wrote in the story, it just kind of it runs parallel to the story of Air, where Michael Jordan's mother really advocated for him. That's the theme of the movie, and there's a reason he's gotten more than $1 billion off Air Jordans in his lifetime, because his mom was really smart in the negotiation. Affleck and Damon have always been able to kind of lean on each other, and I didn't use this in the story. I heard Damon say it on Bill Simmons' podcast, but you know, they started thinking about this after Matt's dad died, and they realized, talking to each other, they just want to do things with people they like and people they trust. And it helps that they're both A-list movie stars, and Ben's a great director, but you know, it's a nice thing to hear that two guys who have reached this level of fame are still really close friends and really seem to me authentic people.
Then there's the other side of the coin, and that's the NFL Network. Oh. Holy cow. You know, where to begin? Well, let's start. For anybody who doesn't know, can you, briefly explain what happened to Jim Trotter?
Yeah, they've had a round of layoffs. I don't know if they're done, but some pretty prominent people have been let go. Mike Giardi, who I think is a trustworthy reporter, as it was in Boston, even when he was at New England Cable News, NBC Sports Boston, and then moved on to the NFL Network. Just a really good guy who tried to tell you the truth above anything else. But Jim Trotter got let go, and that one really raised a red flag, because over the last 2 years, he's questioned Goodell at his Super Bowl press conference about the lack of diversity in the NFL media, which is the league's arm, which is essentially the NFL Network. On a sort of connected to that, the lack of diversity in front offices and with coaches. And you know, Goodell is, he just stammers through it and you know, says what he can, you know, we've done what we can do. And well, when Trotter popped up as one of the people being let go, you don't trust the NFL in these things ever. Mm. You should not. And it just seemed like there was probably a through line there from him asking that question of Goodell to him losing his job, because he's very good at what he does. And it was really disappointing, but not surprising, to see him be part of those cuts.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown. If you don't have the book, get it. The Boston Globe, Story of the Red Sox. Did I hear you tell Mike Violet this morning you've got an event coming up on the 15th?
Yeah, we'll be doing some stuff around here. They're just kind of starting to line up book signings. So I'll probably have one in Bath. I don't know. Maybe up in Orono. What do you mean? I would like to be able to do that. But there's a sports card show in Bath at the Bath Rec Department, April 15th. And the person putting it together is my T-ball coach. I've known him that long.
Wow.
So I'm going to go there. And I think they're having me sign some books, but they asked me to come by. So it'll be great.
That's very cool. Well, get the book if you haven't already. Red Sox fans going to absolutely love it. Chad, thanks as always for being with us.
I should say he's not my T-ball coach now, but he was back in like 1977.
No, but clearly him recognizing the limits of your talents as a baseball player led to this successful career as a writer.
I was a hitting machine off the field when I started throwing it that I was in trouble.
Right, that's when it all goes downhill. Thanks, Chad.
See you, Rich.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown.